ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭುಚನಂದ ಶ್ರೀದೇವಿ ಪಿತಾಕಾಶ್ರೀವಾಕೀಜಾಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋಪಿರ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕಂದರಾಧಪುರ ಗಿರಿ ಗುರುಡಾನ್ ಜಾಯ ಶ್ರೀ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಜಾಯ ನವರುದ್ರಾಮ್ ಕಿ ಜಾಯ ಗಾಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಣ ತುಳಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಗಿಜಾಯ ಅನಾನುಗೋರಿ ವಾಯುಷ್ಯಪ್ರಭಿ ಗಿಜಾಯ ಸಮಭಕ್ತ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಗಿಜಾಯ ಗೋಪ್ರಮಣಿ ಗೋರ್ಷಿ ಸಮಗೋರಿ ಗೋರ್ಷ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
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 ನಮಃ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಾಗುತದೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಮಾರಿ ಭಕ್ತಪ್ರದಾದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಖಿ ನಮನೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಸಾದನೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಭಾವಕ್ಯಾನ ಶಿಕ್ಷಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಲೋಕ ಸಫಲಾಯ ಸೇಮೆ ಸ್ವಸಾನಿ ವಿವಸಾವಸೇ ದ್ವಿಜ ಇವ ಸಕಾಲ ಇಹ ಕಾರಣ Fully under the control of the Lord, they work like birds caught in a net who cannot move independently. Wherefore, the difference between the suras and asuras is the suras know that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. Whereas the asuras cannot understand the supreme will of the Lord. In this fight, Vritasura is actually asura, whereas Indra is the Asura. No one can act independently, rather everyone acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, victory and defeat come according to the results of one's karma, and the judgment is given by the Supreme Lord. Since we act under the control of the Supreme according to our karma, no one is independent from Brahma down to the insignificant hand. Whether we are defeated or victorious, the Supreme Lord is always victorious because everyone acts under his direction. Our sensory prowess, mental prowess, bodily strength, living force, immortality, and mortality are all subject to the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing this, foolish people think the dull material body is the cause of their activities. Though King Indra is a wooden doll that looks like a woman, or as an animal made of grass and leaves, cannot move or dance independently, but depends fully on the person who handles it. All of us dance according to the desire of the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. No one is independent. Therefore, it is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekaleshwara Krishna Arasabhitya, Yari Laitse, Anachaya, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Krishna alone is the Supreme Control, all of us are his servants, they dance as he makes them do so. We are all servants of Krishna, we have no independence, we are dancing according to the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but out of ignorance and illusion, we think we are independent of the Supreme Will. Therefore, it is said, Kishwara Parama Krishna Satsvananda Vidraha Nadiyadi Govinda Sarva Karana Parama. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. So these verses are expressing the idea that the Supreme Lord is the ultimate controller of everything. And the comparison is given here of birds caught in a net. Supreme Lord is ultimately in control of everything, just as the net controls all the birds, and they're not actually free. And then all of the pranas and strength, etc., life and death, are according to the will of the Supreme Lord. So if this, of course, is taken to the extreme, it becomes problematic because then the Lord is blamed for all the suffering of the jivas. So if we don't do anything, the Lord causes all the suffering and he's responsible for the sin. So therefore the Lord is sinful. So this becomes problematic also. So though verses like this indicate the supreme control of the Lord, at the same time, we must understand that the jiva does have some little independence. And it's this independence which causes the problems for the jiva. It is not the control of the Lord, but part of the independence of the jiva, which causes his problems. So this is a problem that is often discussed in philosophy, how the Lord is related to the material world, because if he does control everything, then he's ultimately responsible. And since he is supreme, everything ultimately is traced back to him. So we must trace all of the problems of the world back to him. So there are various solutions to this problem. One is, okay, the Lord is separate from everything. And though he is the ultimate controller, there is a control at a very great distance. So the jiva is there and the Lord ultimately controls, but because of the small independence of the jiva, therefore we cannot blame the Lord for the actions of the not blame the Lord for the actions of the jiva. So that distance between the Lord and the jiva must be kept by all means. If we try to come and make the relationship closer, the closer we come, then the more the Supreme Lord is liable to get blamed for the activities of the jiva. So for this reason, Madhvacharya keeps the jiva and the Supreme Lord very separate, whereas Ramanuja brings them very close together as one, like the parts of the body compared to the soul within the body, like that. parts of the body, etc. So because of the intimate relationship, therefore, the likelihood of blaming the Supreme Lord for the jiva's activities is more when we have a closer relationship. That's the reason why Madhva keeps the jiva very separate from the Supreme Lord. So, in the Achintabheda Veda philosophy, also, we have a certain closeness because we say it's different and non-different. So the non-difference is there, which brings about closeness, and therefore blaming the Supreme Lord. At the same time, we also say different. So there is the aspect of difference also emphasized. Ultimately, of course, we will take the non-difference over the difference over the non-difference in regards to the jiva and the Supreme Lord and Prakriti and the Supreme Lord. That seems to be a predominating factor, in spite of the fact we say non-difference. The non-difference arises because Tathasta Shakti and Maya Shakti are Shaktis of the Lord. So in that sense, they are non-different. But because they are Shakti, they are also different. So it's that difference which creates the jiva. And you have the jiva, the Tathasta Shakti manifesting the jiva, and the jiva has his slight independence. So some difference is manifested there. So, though the Supreme Lord ultimately is a controller and everything is under his will, that is, the Shaktis operate according to his will, and without the Lord, the Shaktis don't exist, nor can they operate. The control is somewhat indirect. So as far as the material world is concerned, the Lord does not touch the material world. He does not contact the material world. But he controls it. So he does that in different ways. He does so by expansions. That is why we have the three Purusha avatars. So the Lord in the spiritual sky is directly operated. He expands in these other forms that deal with material energy. And even if these forms deal with material energy again, there is no contact. So the Lord glances at material energy. He doesn't touch it. He wills it to happen, and it happens. And he enters into the material world as Garbhodaksha Vishnu. But again, he never touches the material world, even he's inside it. And as Shirodaksha Vishnu Paramatma, he goes inside each living entity, but still, he is not contaminated by the material world. He's not touched by it. So he remains distant. So the Paramatma is the most intimate contact with the material world. But even there, he is the witness of the activities of the jiva. And the example is given in the Upanishad, the Svetasara Upanishad, that they're like two birds, and the one bird is looking at the other bird, and the other bird is eating the fruit on the tree. That bird is looking at him. It doesn't stop him, he looks at him. So therefore, there's independence of the jiva to enjoy the fruit of material life. And the Lord does not stop that. So in that sense, there's free will for the jiva. But the very existence of that jiva is dependent on the Supreme Lord. The ability of the jiva to operate and fulfill his desires in the material world, ultimately, all that rests upon the Supreme Lord. The pranas and the senses and all the activities in the body ultimately operate because of the will of the Supreme Lord. So, the Supreme Lord permits, in that sense, he controls. So because he permits the jiva to use his free will, he is the controller. But it's not that he makes the jiva do a certain activity or anything like that. That is the independence of the individual jiva. And material world, he does not directly do everything, but he makes arrangements. So we have Brahma acting as secondary creator. The Lord doesn't get involved in making the material bodies of the planets. Let's Brahma do that. And he assigns devatas to take control of certain aspects of managing the material world. So he doesn't have to involve directly. So, in this way, the Lord controls matter through devatas and Brahma, and ultimately back to Paramatma, feature of the Lord. Ultimately, we trace everything back to the Supreme Lord. At the same time, the jiva has independence. Prakriti has no independence because it is not conscious. So it can only operate by an outside influence. The jiva has its own consciousness. So it can operate somewhat independently. But ultimately, as I said, everything is under the permission of the Supreme Lord. Without his sanction, nothing happens. So his sanction is his control. And then secondarily, he sets up things like karma to control the activities of the Jivas also. So therefore, when we say that the Lord does everything, we should not imply that it's absolutely everything, but rather that there is some independence of the Jiva. And that is respected by the Supreme Lord. And it is by that independence, that because of that independence of the Jiva, that the Lord comes in the material world and he supplies scripture and teachings and devotees, etc., so that the Jivas can choose to perform bhakti if they so want. So that is because of the free will of the Jiva. He never forces them to take it, but he gives them the opportunity. So the Lord provides opportunities for the Jiva to make proper choices. That is his mercy. So the controlling aspect of the Supreme Lord is there secondarily through karma. And it is this control, by instituting the law of karma, which limits the activities of the human being. So you cannot control certain things. If he is to be defeated by the law of karma, nothing can prevent that. If he is to be victorious by the law of karma, nothing can prevent that. Certain aspects of the jiva's life as a human being is under the control of karma. And no matter what he does, materially speaking, he cannot counteract it. However, there is an exception. We can destroy karma also. And normally it cannot be destroyed, but by the process of bhakti, karma also can get destroyed. And therefore, these actions, theoretically at least, may not be true. The control of karma will disappear. However, the Supreme Lord also, even for those who are devotees, keeps a pattern of karma. So therefore we could say in one sense, even for the devotee, karma is fulfilled, because the Lord keeps a pattern there even after karma is destroyed. So that we see in the case of Ajahn, his karmas were destroyed, but a karma looked like he was still going through karma all of his life and then doing sinful activities and whatever until he died. But actually his karma was all gone when he chanted the name of Narayan, and he named his son Narayan. But after that, it looked like he was still doing the same thing. So the pattern of karma remained by the will of the Lord. But it was not really karma at that point, it was simply the will of the Lord operating. So, in some cases, of course, it may not happen like that, and the karma is finished for that jiva. And then the devotee can disappear and go to the spiritual world. So, in various ways, the Lord operates in relation to karma for the devotee. Sometimes he lets the karmas continue in shadow form. Sometimes he may just have them all dissolve completely. So this is another way in which the Lord is the controller through the law of karma. In relation to bhakti, the Lord is the controller, but simultaneously is not the controller because he becomes controlled. In prema, the Lord is controlled by bhakti. He is controlled by the devotee. So he gives up his control and becomes dependent upon the devotee. So that is another exception. Of course, he always remains as Supreme Lord, But because of the devotee's prema, then he follows after the devotee. So he no longer acts as Supreme Lord and controller, but rather he follows the desire of the devotee. So, though the Lord is by nature, by tattva, by his very essence, Ishvara, the controller of everything, still, under him, there is some scope for the independence of the jiva in the material world, in spite of the limitations of karma. And through the process of bhakti, he destroys karma, that limitation on his free movement, and then the Lord himself comes under the control of the devotee. So bhakti is the means by which the independence of the jiva can be most fully expressed, even though of course he can never be completely independent, because the Lord is the only independent, and he is still dependent ultimately. But still, through the process of bhakti, he can reach his maximum of independent nature in relation to the Supreme Lord. Well, he doesn't like material things, but he likes Krishna. He's only attracted to Krishna. So because of that great attraction for Krishna, Krishna becomes controlled by the devotee. Of Ajivya, all of his karmas were destroyed, but still there was a pattern remaining by the will of the Lord.
In case of bhakti, when you said that jiva actually expresses, attains his real independence, can act independently, really act independently.
Yeah.
That's because in the modes it is difficult to express his dependence, and more influenced by the mode.
Well, yeah, he's under the law of karma. If he destroys karma, then there's a freedom from karma. So that says he's more independent. He's free from the law of karma.
Syndrome of choice is
and yeah. And in the spiritual world, one of his qualities is such a sankalpa. Whatever he wants, he gets. So in that sense, he's free. Whatever body he wants, spiritual body, he gets that. Whatever thing he wants, he can get it. Like desire tree gives everything. So all desires are fulfilled.
Because even in the material world, the choice remains within him.
Yeah, but in spite of his choices, still he does have his limitation. In other words, you want to be an engineer, but your karma says, no, you cannot be an engineer in spite of the choice. So your choices get limited to some degree by the karma. Within that, you have choices, of course. Whatever thing you do, whatever job you do, you may get some choices there, but it may be limited from certain things. You cannot be certain things. That the pattern of karma is there even for the liberated devotee who still has a body. In most cases, there's still a pattern remaining. That is discussed in the Brahma Sutras. The pattern remains, in spite of the fact that actually it's destroyed. So it may not be effective, that is, it's not full strength, but there's still a pattern there. That is the will of the Supreme Lord. That everyone should have to go through his body. And of course, the mere acceptance of the material body itself is a karma. So, if all karma is destroyed, then immediately the devotee reaches perfection, he will disappear because his body would go away. So there'd be no more devotees in the world on the pure level because they would all disappear because no karma is there. So that much karma at least has to be there that the body continues. So its lifespan is a karma. That must continue. And as well as that, then we have other karmas continuing the pattern also.
Thank you.